Welcome to the Behavior Corner Podcast with Barb Rova. Barb created the Behavior Corner after almost two decades of working side by side with families to improve their children's behavior. This is a supportive place for parents to come together to learn how to manage powerful emotions, negative behavior choices, and the chaos that we experience along our parenting journeys. In the Behavior Corner, we share professional, practical, and positive parenting advice. These are the tools that will give you a strong foundation to make positive behavior changes in your children a reality. Get ready. This is going to be great.
Welcome to this edition of the Behavior Corner. Today in the corner, we're talking about discipline. Discipline looks very different if you have toddlers as compared to if you have teenagers. In fact, discipline looks very different from punishment. As I was growing up, I would think of discipline and punishment as the same things. I knew if I was getting a punishment or if I was going to be disciplined, I was in trouble. But now that I have grown and I have gotten into the field of positive parenting and I support parents at every angle of their parenthood journey, I know better. I know that discipline and punishment are two very different things. In fact, the word discipline is derived from a disciple, someone who is learning from us. That very someone or someones are your children. When we think of discipline, we should automatically be thinking teaching. How can I use this life experience that my child is going through to teach them right from wrong, to teach them problem solving, to teach them how to cope if life is getting stressful? We know that our kids will mess up. In fact, us adults mess up as well. No one is perfect. And part of growing up and part of learning and getting better is making mistakes. So when your children make a mistake and they are, quote unquote, in trouble, let's take a more disciplined approach than a straight up punishment approach. And since we've already defined what it means to discipline our kids, let's take a very quick look at punishment. Punishment by nature is something that results in your kids being fearful. Perhaps they're fearful of the swat across the face. Perhaps they're fearful of losing a desired activity, a preferred activity. Perhaps being punished makes them upset because they don't understand how to fix their behavior in the future. It could also create them to feel shame and very little self-worth. Punishment is taking a negative approach without any sense of explanation. It also incorporates that negative approach without having a consequence tied to the exact mistake that was made. For example, if your child did not turn his or her screen off when asked, and you gave a warning and still they're not listening to the direction, a related consequence for that would be no screen time tomorrow. However, if we took a punishment approach, perhaps that child received a swat for not turning that screen off. That swat is not related to the screen not being turned off. The swat for many parents is a regular way for them to punish their child. This, my friend, builds fear. Name calling builds in shame and low self-worth. Punishment does not have a teaching element to it. It's a straight up negative response to your kids. And all those examples that I gave you for punishment, I actually picked them on purpose because I have worked with parents who have used those exact punishment consequences. And we have worked to shift the way that they are interacting with their kids to a more disciplined approach. And that has not only improved behaviors, but it has improved relationships as well. So without further ado, we are going to dive into how we use discipline on an age-by-age basis with our kids. Because as we had just mentioned, we are going to approach discipline very differently for those of you who have young kids versus those of you who have older kids. So here are a few things to keep in mind. And we're going to start with the little guys. If you have children in your home who are between the years of 2 and 3, I encourage you to use eye contact when you're speaking with them. This not only teaches them that we make eye contact in our culture when we're speaking to someone, but it also ensures that you have their attention, because the attention span of a 2 to 3-year-old is extremely short, and you want to make sure you have captured that for the moment that you are speaking with them. And because of this short attention span that is developmentally appropriate at this age, we need to keep our directions and our requests to one step. If you need them to do something for you, tell them that one thing while using eye contact. And if there's another thing you need them to do, then use that one step direction once the first task has been completed. Their little minds will not be able to hang on to a two-step direction at this age. That is developmentally expected. And while you're using this eye contact and giving that one-step direction, I want you to show them how to accomplish what you are asking. The 2 to 3-year-old does not have a whole life experience behind them. They will need you as their parent to show them the right way to do things. You may even need to show them hand over hand the first few times. And then follow through on these steps each time you work with your child that is in this age group. This age group has a hard time remembering rules and routines and more than one step direction. They're still trying to find their way as their independence is increasing. So you will need to show them how to accomplish what you are asking, and you will need to be consistent in doing so. How about all of you out there who have a 4 to 5-year-old child? Know that as they have matured a bit, they are more able to follow your directions and rules. Isn't that fabulous news? It's not going to be perfect, but we are seeing an increased ability to do so. I still encourage you, though, at this age, keep directions simple. And remember that testing is expected, as they're still trying to figure out if you, as their adult, will follow through on what you say you will follow through on. So when we're taking a discipline approach and we're teaching them the right way to fix their mistake so it doesn't happen in the future or happens less likely, we want them to know what positive consequences and negative consequences would go along with their behavior choices. They're going to test that, guys. They're going to test it to see if you will follow through on what you say will happen. So expect that as you're going through your discipline teaching model. Also at this age, and quite frankly, all ages, eye contact is very important when you're speaking with your child through discipline or through requests. Also keep in mind that it is completely normal for this age group to need help managing their emotions. So when they get upset, you will need to keep in the back of my mind, in your mind, that it is a normal response. They may cry. They may become angry. And if that is the case, love them, give them time, and when they're calm, approach them with your discipline teachings. And remember how we said, show them when they were 2 to 3? You will still likely need to show them how when they're 4 and 5, depending on what you're trying to correct with them. Always at this age, let them see the power they have in using their words versus actions. Instead of tantruming or pushing or yelling, let me show you how powerful words can be in getting your needs met. You want that to happen? Let's practice how you would say it. That is a perfect example of showing them how to use their words and then showing them that they can get exactly what they were seeking through the power of their words. Also at this age, remember that you can begin to compromise with them if you're not seeing eye to eye. And as their independence is continuing to increase, know that you can have a conversation with them as long as they are being respectful and safe. Perhaps there are some times that you can compromise on their behaviors. And now we enter the age of the 6 to 7 year old. Have your praise ready because they thrive on it. Praising is a form of a positive consequence, and it can and should be used often. You may also notice at this age that your kids are trying to be perfect. They want tasks done with perfection. Teach them that it is okay to make mistakes. It is okay to not be perfect. Also know that the testing behaviors from your kids in this age group will continue. Your ability to be consistent with your discipline will take you far. I also love it when parents see that this age group is the perfect time to really hammer home calming tools. The ability to cope and even ignore and walk away from situations that are causing frustration and anger can be very powerful. And this age group of the 6 to 7 year old, they have the mental capacity to be able to separate themselves from these situations that are eliciting these powerful emotions. So show them how to do that appropriately. Show them how to ignore and walk away and how those tools can help diffuse situations. As with all of our age groups, the 6 to 7 year olds thrive with a daily routine. And I also want you to know that while you're disciplining and you're teaching, remember to avoid power struggles. The need for independence increases with each jump we make in our age spans. If you can avoid a power struggle, do so. And when calmness has returned to your child and to your home, I want you to take time to really talk and listen to them. Really listening includes reframing their feelings. It's almost like when you were in school and you had to paraphrase, when you had to do some writing, and you took someone's work and their words and you put your own little spin on it. That's what I want you to do with your child at this age. They're feeling upset at a classmate, at you perhaps, with a sibling. Tell them you hear them. I hear what you say. you're really frustrated and you're feeling left out that your friend at school wouldn't sit with you at lunch. That helps kids and adults feel heard. You are really taking the time to listen. And kudos to you for doing so. It will go a long way in helping them connect with you and then opening their mind to the teaching approach that you're taking with them, whether it's regulating their emotions or knowing how to cope with a situation or making better choices in the future. How about the 8 to 9-year-old? Continue to be consistent. I think consistency is my favorite word throughout the world of parenting. As you're teaching your children how to problem solve and how to behave, you can add an element of role play in now. Role play simply means practicing. Practice with them where you each act out a situation where they are using the skills that you're teaching them to succeed. Give them choices for what may help a situation. Even better, ask them for what they think will help and act it out. In the unfortunate event that a negative consequence needs to be given, establish an end time for that consequence. Let them know when they get that screen back. Let them know when their friend privileges will be reinstated. And make a plan for the future. So hopefully these types of things don't keep happening. Your 8 to 9-year-old is very able to process all of those things. The same is true for the 10 to 11-year-old. The same things I just listed. But we could make an addition here. We could add a contract. And this age group, they have a very clear understanding what a contract is. It's an agreement between you and your child on what will happen if certain skills or certain behaviors are used. Contracts are a very powerful tool in the world of discipline. Not only are we really listening to our kids and we're having reciprocal conversations back and forth and we're problem solving and we're planning for behaviors, but now we're writing it down and we're tracking how we're doing. This, my friend, is very powerful indeed. And we roll. We continue to roll. Time does go so fast. So those of you who have experienced time going so quickly and you have a 12 to 14-year-old child at home and you are looking to discipline, remember, your kids need clear boundaries. In fact, clear boundaries could go under the age range before and that one before that as well. Allow your 12 to 14-year-old to voice their concerns and really hear their opinions. It's not up for debate if their opinion is right or wrong. That's the very nature of an opinion. It's not fact. It's what they truly feel and truly think. Honor their opinion and guide them in making decisions. Remember how we asked them a few years ago their opinion on what may help a situation? And we asked for their ability to be able to problem solve with our guidance? The same is true here, except you're doing it in a way that they are much more independent with it. You're there to help problem solve with them. Ask them to list a few pros and cons for their idea and make a plan together. The 15 to 8-year-olds, wow, is time flying or what? They still need you to guide them. You are their parent. Talk things out with them. Yes, they may be resistant, but do it anyways. Talk things out with them. Avoid power struggles. unless it's a safety issue. So your attempt to have a conversation with them may be blocked with a power struggle. Respect that for now. If you feel that your 15 to 8-year-old is on a dangerous path that may involve a safety issue, you may need to push the issue a bit or even consult with their pediatrician or a mental health provider. It is still your job as they approach adulthood to make sure that they are cared for, and that includes areas of safety. Consistency for all of the age groups actually does exist. And remember, I said this word consistency, I think, is my favorite word in the world of parenting. And there are a few things that I'm hoping you have already recognized as we've gone down this journey of, as our kids age, they do need discipline. And it's going to look a little bit different depending on how old they are. And what doesn't change, however, is that when we're speaking with our kids from a disciplinary view, is that we need to make sure we're using a calm voice. And if you cannot be calm at that very moment, then you need to wait. You need to wait to address that behavior until you can present in a calm way. The only exception to that rule is if it's an issue of safety or they're damaging property. Then you do need to intervene right away. What else is consistent across every single age? No name calling. We are not in the business of shaming our children or calling them names. We are in the business, however, of using eye contact, talking it out with them, problem solving with them, and being consistent with any plans we put into place. That is something very important. And as you saw, as your kids started getting older, we had that element of compromise that once it is established, it can remain in your discipline practices. So I'm hoping that by listening to our message today, you have a clearer understanding that there are differences between discipline and punishment, and you have choices and different options available to you based on the age of your children. So until next time, I encourage you, be brilliant and be empowered.
Thank you for joining us. Please subscribe, rate, and review. Come and visit us on our other social media platforms, including our fan page found on Facebook, Behavior Corner LLC, and our amazing closed group where even more goodness happens at Raising Kids, Behavior Solutions That Work. And of course, a shout out to Barb is always available at barb@behaviorcorner.com.